So, you want to be a contractor. Ever wonder what it takes to become a contractor? The journey they go on to get where they are now, or the crazy things they see and hear on the job site. Well, you're in the right spot. Welcome to So You Want to Be a Contractor, the podcast. Join your host, Mike Fisher, as he talks to owners of construction companies from all over about how they got started, how they run their business, and some of the craziest stories they've experienced on their job sites. And now, your host, Mike Fisher.
Welcome to So You Want to Be a Contractor. This is episode number 10. My name is Mike Fisher. With me today, my guest is Sean Bright, president at New Era Electric. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
No, great. Thanks for joining us today. Love your background there.
That's, oh, thanks.
that's a good one. Probably one of the best we've had so far, for sure.
Oh, cool.
in my old office, I had a, it's in my house now, but I've got a giant one. It's probably,
oh, you do?
4
yeah.
feet wide. Yeah.
I couldn't afford that one. Yeah, it's coming. a couple more months of revenue.
There you go. Perfect. So Sean, give us your story, man. We want to know how you got started in this industry and what led you to having your own company now or being the sure. president at New Era Electric.
Sure. Actually what started me in this business was, my girlfriend's father telling me I needed a job where I couldn't date his daughter anymore. So, and I wasn't going to college. So I mean, pretty much at 17, 2 weeks after high school, I started working with him. He is now still my father-in-law. Me and my wife have been married for 26 years now. So, wow. So that's how I jumped into it. I jumped into it real quick, worked for him. He was not an easy person to work for. So anyways, I did that for about 8 years. He was tough to work for, but they did teach me a lot. So I decided really quick in construction that I liked the electrical aspect of it more than anything else. Right. He was a
and
general contractor.
Oh, he was a general. Okay.
He was a general contractor, but they did everything.
It
was a small company. So, I mean, I was helping with roofing, I was helping with drywall and when I got to the electrical part, that really interests me. So started going to school for it, did my own apprenticeship, apprenticed under one of an old curmudgeoned electrician who taught me everything, and ended up leaving him, going to work for, you know, some larger companies. And so for about 20 years, I was out there doing it. And about 5 years ago, I had an opportunity to partner up with one of my best friends who was in the solar world. They do steel structures for solar. You've probably seen them, in a parking lot somewhere, giant steel structures that you put solar on top of. So
right,
he did that. Right. And I had my licenses at the time, and I said, hey, I think there's something here, man. You're doing the steel and I can do the electrical. And so we started it. It turned out pretty good. And so about 3 years after working in that realm, we decided to open New Era, focusing on solar. I mean, we do other types of job, but 90% of our work is in the solar world, commercial solar. So and that's where I am today. And so that's been, we've been New Era for about 2 years now. I mean, it sounds corny, but the reason we picked New Era is because I believe, solar is that kind of new era,
right?
We're
leading
into we're not going coal and anymore, right? We're going into no nuclear. We're going into the solar world. So, ever since we started, it's been a great market, and I don't see it slowing down. So,
yeah, for sure. So that, I mean, I'm always what fascinates me the most is that period of that time period of that decision making process that goes from, working for somebody, doing something you like, to kind of taking that leap and going into your own business. It sounds like yours was more of just an opportunity and a timing kind of thing, right? Just being a
if it wasn't for that opportunity, it would have been really tough, right? I mean, it's there's a moment in time there that I left out. While I was working for those bigger companies, I went out and I did get my license, and I partnered up with a friend, and we started a business, and But, you know, if you're not putting 125% into your 50% into your business, it didn't work. So, you know, me working full time for a company and half-assing it with this other company, you know, we couldn't do it. I mean, it was glorified side job at the time. So I had it in that. That's why I ended up with my contractor's license. And then that opportunity to partner with somebody who's already had success in construction made it a lot easier. Obviously, one of the biggest things there is, you know, the cash flow there, right? So it's tough to get a company going with no cash. So that's, you're like you said, it was all opportunity. So helped propel me into that.
So are you guys, was it a situation, did your buddy have his own company at the time?
Yeah. So he owns Impartsteel Construction. They're, you know, in the structural steel solar world, they're big name, working all over California at the time. And now they're even working all over the United States. So that's what it was. Right. So every job he did, you know, every job he got structurally, there was a component of electrical that was even bigger.
Right. Right.
So that's where I was like, hey man, there's something here. And if you have all this opportunity, I think we can make something happen. We ended up, the reason it didn't work out is that company primarily got projects from other electrical companies. So it became, you know, kind of a conflict of interest. And then we grew so quickly, we became a threat, right? We became a threat to his partner clients, and they basically came to him one day and said, that's enough, right? You're getting too big. And we can see you trying to steal our jobs, even though we weren't. They got a little bit apprehensive, and rightfully so. So, you know, he came to me and he said, we can't do this under this name anymore. So that's when I'm like, well, I got something going here. I can't let this go. And at the time I had about 40 employees, and it's like, I got to make this move. And so we did. And luckily we did. I mean, it was, you know, the industry that I'm in right now, there's not a lot of people that do what we do. We're housed in San Diego County, which is tiny in the construction world. We work all over Southern California, but there's not another electrical contractor really out there that's non-union, that works 10 megawatts and under on solar, that works all over California. And, you know, there's these bigger companies that they want the 100 megawatts and up, right?
They want
the home run every time, but we're specializing in that 10 megawatt and under. And there's really not a lot of companies out there doing it right now. So, and the need for it is a big need for solar in California, especially.
Right. Yeah. So are you at the point where are you just doing the electrical right now, or are you guys combined doing the structures and the electric? Is New Era doing both?
No. We're flat out electrical contractor. We do because a lot of these solar jobs are, they're primarily electrical, especially the rooftops.
Right.
Carports, there's that structural 30, that's about 35% of the project, but still the electrical component and the engineering and all that sort of thing takes a good chunk of the overall contract. So we do have clients out there that says, hey, you know, most of the contract is basically falls under your scope. Why don't you guys do the whole thing? So we have gotten some opportunities, but primarily we're working for a general contractor, and we're doing pipe and wire, and basically just electrical work.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, you know, 5-6 years ago when I started this, I grew up an electrician, right? 17 years old. For lack of a better term, I kind of looked down on solar. I didn't think it was real. I thought it was a joke. I was a real electrician, right? I was out there building big buildings and big restaurants and all this stuff. And I'm not, that's solar. I still think that there's a stigma on that today. I still think that a lot of the electricians out there do feel that way. Cause I did, and it was tough. And until I started looking into it, so I started seeing what it meant. I'm like, well, shit, it's pipe and wire. And so it's like, still an electrician, you know? Yep. But it's tough because it recruiting some of the, you know, some of these, older electrical guys, I still think they think, I don't know. I don't think that's going to be around, but, it's proven that it's going to be there for
especially out here in California. Yeah. And I think part of it, honestly, and I mean, I've had a few solar guys that I've talked to in the past on these shows, but I think part of it is that the residential side where you have somebody like Solar City, right? Or I don't know all the names, but the ones that just do the marketing and sales, right? And then they hire somebody
to do the actual electrical,
right? So that kind of makes it seem like, well, is this real? Like, cause are you, you know what I mean? I know that's just the way that the business is built, and that's the way it's easy to kind of get it out there. But
yeah,
I feel like that might be part of that stigma in some, not only the electricians and the people in the trade, but the consumer, right? Because they see one company and they talk to one company, and then somebody else installs it, and then that company's gone.
Who do they have, you know what I mean?
So it's one of those kind of things. But I mean, I've got solar in my house. Yeah. And I can definitely see that.
That could be, you know, when we're recruiting and they see that word solar, right? It's just like, oh, great. I'm not going to go to somebody's house and get on the roof and do that. That's not real. So there definitely is that now. And that's when I help in recruiting, you know, that's my pitch to these guys. I'm like, guys, this is pipe and wire, and we're doing big pipe and wire. We're doing big jobs. We're putting in giant switchgear. You know, we're doing miles of underground. I try to say we are electrical infrastructure for renewable energy projects, right? You got to sort of spin it a different way, right? You know, it's just because it's tough when you see that. When you see that now, in 20 years, I think people are going to see that. They're going to understand it. But you know, solar's still relatively new, right? It's not. I mean, it's not, but it is. And especially what we're doing on more of the commercial level, I think it's new, and it's a new concept, especially in the construction world. And it's a niche right now.
I think it's new at the capacity that it's at now. Right.
Yeah.
Because it was, and for it's a not long time, go it was so small. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so you said at one point you were up to, go ahead.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at one point you were up to, like you said, I think 40 or 50 employees. Is that kind of where you're at right now?
I think we're around about 60 right now. You know, biggest problem that we have is people. You probably hear this from a lot of people. It's, you know, labor's tough in this market. I think labor's tough for everybody, right? I mean, I see signs that, you know, everywhere I go, hey, couldn't open today, didn't have any help, right? It's kind of crappy. But so we have it kind of in a twofold situation where it's tough to find people anyways. I have to find certified people, right? It's not easy to find, and anybody who's worth anything is working for somebody. So it's tough. And, you know, the other problem we see is, you know, as the old guys like me leave that field, it's not a one-to-one ratio of getting them in. You know, I hate to say kids right now, but you know, as I'm older, anybody under 40 now is a kid to me. they're not coming into the market. It's either they don't want to work or they think it's beneath them, and it's really weird. Right. And I just don't think there's enough information out there. And, you know, I have electricians that make almost $200,000 a year. And you know, I think, you know, and my daughter was, you know, one of them, not that she was going to go into the construction world, but she went to college, and I was like, man, that cried my eyes off when she graduated. That was an amazing accomplishment. She makes $40,000 a year. Now she has $100,000 in debt.
Yep.
I have a program here where I'll put you to school for 5 years. I'll pay the $100,000. And when you get out, I guarantee you $90,000 a year. And where else are you going to get that? But with that pitch, you wouldn't believe how many people I can't get.
Really?
Right. And it's interesting. Right. And, you know, the lull that I've seen in apprentices coming into and starting into the apprenticeship programs and getting into the trades. Like I said, 20 years from now, I think, you know, solar's going to be more prevalent, and there's going to be more work out there. That labor field's going to be really slim, and any electrician with a certification is going to be named as prized. We can tell you that right now. I mean, we already see it. I mean, we already have to do whatever we can to get these guys, offer them all this stuff. I just don't think it's going to get any better until there's more understanding out there that, you know, and I'm not, I'm not saying everybody, but I still think that there's that, hey, parental looking down at people in the construction world, say, oh, my kid's not going to go into the trades. He's going to go to college and he's going to be a lawyer. Well, if you got a kid going in and getting his business degree, what does that mean? Right. And you're still going to have to get into the world and figure out what you're going to do. And in that amount of time, you're going to start over. Right. So going to school to be a doctor. Yeah. You're going to get out. You're going to be a doctor if you're good. But, you know, my daughter's like, she's got a marketing degree. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Now she's got to start over. It can take her 5 years to get her place. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's amazing how many people feel that, you know,
that's the only way. That's the best way to do it. Yeah.
What's that?
It's a bit like you were saying, it's amazing that people feel that that's the best and only way that it should be done. Right. Like that's choice A number one
And then ironically enough, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, hey man, I went and got my degree. It's a great accomplishment. But then to look down at that electrician who's making twice as much as you, it's just a little ironic, right? And by the way, you know, there's a lot of schooling that you need to become an electrician. I mean, this is not an easy trade to be in. And, you know, it takes a big brain. And that's why I liked it. That's why I went to it. It was more than just the physical and aspect. And it was there's a lot of schooling and theory and algebra. We use, you know, algebra every day. I mean,
physics, Ohm's law,
right? There's stuff that you got to do. And it's just like, wow. And what's cool about it is when you get into the trade, you start learning it. I wasn't a very good school person, but when you get in and you're hands on learning, and then you do a little bit of book, and then you see this and you go, wow, I'm actually pretty smart, you know?
Look what I can do.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Right.
So kind of speak to that a little bit more about what you have to what you've done to kind of either entice employees, or not entice, but I would say recruit and retain, that kind of help. I think you touched on a couple things a little bit, but just kind of get a little bit deeper into that.
Yeah. I mean, recruiting's tough, right? Recruiting is very hard. You know, it's harder than keeping people, and keeping people is extremely hard. It's just, there's not a lot of people looking for work. Like you said, it's a good market right now. And, it's definitely an employee's market. And, so, you know, we got to do whatever we can. I mean, we got to offer them bonuses to come in. We got to offer them stuff. Right. But there is, you know, we do put a lot out there, but if I'm involved in the interview process, it's not just about money. You know, we don't want people here that are looking for an extra $5 an hour or something like that. Right.
Right.
Cause that's not how you keep people. You know, you offer them money. Great. The money only goes so far. Right. And then it only makes you happy for so long. We really want people to be happy here. Right. And, but that is the hard part about getting in it. So sometimes it has to be like a mixed situation.
Right,
so,
right. You
know, posting ads on Indeed, it's been very unsuccessful. It's going to be word of mouth from the guys, knowing people, seeing what we have, seeing what we do, you know, social media that we put, hey, we did another job or something like that. It's funny. You know, we talk about marketing all the time. And I don't really market for my clients necessarily, even though, you know, we do. It's more for the guys. It's more for the electricians out there, right? Because the more they see that brand recognition and they go, wow, maybe there's something over there, right? Then they start talking to people. You know, what we do that's a little bit different than a lot of people is we have discretionary project performance bonuses, right? So that's something that, I mean, obviously all the employees love it, right? So, you know, if we win on a job and do better, they win. Right. So it's a motivation tactic, and not a lot of people are doing that either. So these guys, you know, can end a job and get a couple grand in their pocket because they did it. They feel successful and they got some cash and no one else is doing it. And they really like it. So that word starts to spread out there. It's like, hey man, you can come work here and they might, you might get this. So that's something that's really helped on the retainage side. It's still tough to relay that out into the open market and make people understand it and make sure it's real. There's a lot of false promises out there. There's a lot of talk about culture and people just talk, right? So you gotta stand behind it too, right? There, people find out really fast if you're BSing them. So that's one of the things I do. I don't want to bring somebody in here because they want $5 an hour anymore, right? I'm willing to do that, but I want them here because they buy off on this. They buy off on our culture. They buy off We want good people here. We want happy people here. I tell every single person is I don't want a person here who doesn't want to be here. It is no good for anybody. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. It's not good for all the other guys if you don't want to be here. Right. So, and $5 an hour, $10 an hour makes you want to be there for another month. And then you realize,
right,
that, oh, I'm happy again. Right. So that's the hardest part. And trying to get people to buy off on it and display that out into the field or even in here is tough. But, you know, we put together a pretty good team of people who are all on the same page. And I think that's what really makes us successful.
Yeah, for sure. And I love what you said there about using social media for as a recruiting tool, right? Because I think I talked about it on my last episode, but there's so many contractors that feel, well, social media is new-ish, right? Especially in the construction world, right? There's for contractors, that concept of using social media is relatively new, and not to kind of pat myself on the back, but what I'm doing right now and doing this is part of that, right? Trying to push that out into this industry and kind of help push it forward. But because it's so new, I think a lot of people think that a lot of contractors think that if I spend time and money on this, it needs to return revenue, right?
Yeah,
but
that's
not always the case, right? And that might not be that tool's best asset or best return, right? Because in my opinion, it's more, well, obviously one, the recruiting tool, I think that's obviously important, but also it's a digital resume for you guys or business card, right? Or reference point, you know, for people, whether, you know, they're not looking at your social media posts and going, hey, New Air Electric, can you come do my solar on, you know what I mean? Like building owners aren't calling you because they saw your picture on social media. Right. But when you go in and you talk to them, if you've never met them and you're talking about bidding a job, maybe, I mean, I guarantee you somebody in that company, one of the first things they're doing is looking you up. Whether it be online or at social media or wherever it is. And so kind of gives you validation, right?
Like I said, it's brand recognition, right? It's getting people comfortable with you, right? It's scary to hire contractors when you don't know. You don't know if they're going to perform. Yep. And what we do, since we take care of 90% of what these people need to do, I mean, they're on the line if we're not successful for them. So it's intimidating for them to get into contracts with us. So having that, showing them that we are working with this bigger guys and, saying, hey, this was the job we just got done, or here's the individuals that we want to highlight this week. It makes them a little bit more comfortable. I mean, there's still the, the pre-qualifications that we have to do and all the money stuff. But again, just getting familiar with us and that's tough, right? When you're not even 2 years old. Right. And, so we've been very fortunate that, you know, we got probably, I don't know, 6-7 guys that we call partner clients that we're working continuously with. And, and because of that success, we have other people, hey, send this prequal out. Let's see, how do we get you on a job? And ironically enough, you know, last year we were working with a client who just wouldn't give us a job. And we bid. And I went to the estimating department and I said, that's enough, man. I'm not paying for these guys to get numbers anymore, right? And turns out that they came to us, you know, not that long ago and said, you know, honestly, we didn't give you the job because, you know, it didn't fit into our budget, but we realized our budgets suck and you guys are right. And you guys are the ones doing it right. And we're hiring all these other contractors and they're not doing very good. And so they're starting to realize that, hey, listen, it's more than just that bottom line number. It's, we know what we're doing. If we're giving you a number, we feel like you should be listening. There's something there. And that's what we want to give to you as a partner client. We don't want to just give you low number and then come and change order you to death. This is what we see. We do this every day. We specialize in this and we think your engineer is actually missing something. And so that's why I think we retain a lot of partners is we're very upfront. We're very, very honest on what we give out there. And, you know, it's not always, we don't win that way. Sometimes it's the reason we don't win because they go, nope, 20,000 high. Nope. Sorry. But I think 9 times out of 10, they realize that that was a legitimate thing and they're paying it at the end anyways via a change order. But that's,
I love that. And just kind of sticking to your guns and knowing your worth there, right? Like not just dropping the price to win the business.
Well, what we tell everybody is like, hey, I don't need practice on these jobs. Right. So, and I don't need to lose money. Right. We know what we're doing. And if you don't like it, it's like, listen, we're not trying to be cocky. I don't need to lose any more money. Right. You learn as you go, right? So you do send out jobs. And the only way you learn is you either are successful or a failure, and there's got to be a mixture. So we've lost a lot enough money on jobs where we know what not to do. So
right.
That's basically what at the end of the day, we said, we want to work with you. We want to do what we can. This is really what we feel. We think you should be cautious on these other numbers because we feel this, but at the end of the day, it's your decision and you guys do what you do. And ironically enough, it's been coming back to these guys saying, yeah, we think we need your help now. So that's kind of rewarding.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, I mean, I don't like to talk about insurance as my day job, if you will, but, and I don't like to talk about it too much, but I get into the same kind of situation, right? Where, you know, there's people out there lowballing and, you know, it's, well, that's the service you're going to get too. And I tell people all the time, like, I don't need practice quoting your insurance. I'm good at it. I know what I'm doing. I know how it works. I know should be paying. So, you know what I mean? So I understand that, but it's hard early on, right? I feel like you guys have, your company is new, kind of in infancy, right? Only a couple of years old, but it sounds like you've got enough experience in the trade that you're comfortable kind of, being that way from the beginning, but that's a hard concept for people, especially, or, you know, contractors new in business and having their own company to kind of take on that mentality, right? Because so early on, you're so hungry for revenue, but.
Like I said, that's not how it started. And so when I say 2 years, I'm going to take the 3 years before that into it. Right. So that's where we started. That's where we started doing it. But then until the name changed. So we're a 2 year old company, but for all intents and purposes, we're five, right? Most of the people that I have are still here. But then that's where I say it's like, yes, you're absolutely right. We threw a number and they're like, no, you need to be 50,000 low. Well, hey, I need some jobs. Let's give it a go. And we lost money. Right. And so
that's how you learn. Yep.
That's how we learn. So that's next time we do it, we stick to our guns saying, no, sorry, we can't do it. It's not right. They find another contractor, then they find another one. And then three or four jobs later, they realize, oh, we got something's wrong with our bidding model. And we better start listening to these guys. And that's what's happening, you know? I think there was a lot of bad solar contracts written 3-4 years ago, right. That are still to this day surfacing that these larger companies that buy smaller companies are just having to do, and their PMs out there are just trying to somehow salvage the job. So they may have to go out and get a trunk slammer or somebody who, you know, and I'm not knocking it. Somebody's working out of their garage, extremely low overhead, you know, owners out there working with them. Sure, that they may have to get that, but at the end of the day, it's all about experience getting these jobs. And solar is relatively easy on the electrical side, but there's a lot of complicated parts to it. And there's a lot of things that you can make it go south. Right. So, and experiencing that is really the only way to figure out, mitigate it and not do it the next time. Right.
So kind of going back to the social media aspect, just cause I like to know kind of like we chatted about at the beginning, as far as where that turning point was, you know, to kind of turn it into your own business, but same kind of concept. What was that turning point where you guys decided let's do this deliberately? Let's be deliberate about the things that we're doing on social media. And then is there somebody in your office that handles that specifically? Is that part of their role?
So ironically enough, the social media is the reason we are New Era Electric today. We had a very good marketing person in the last job we had, and she posted a brilliant social media post about a job we got done. And it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors on that social media. It to the point, and I'm not going to name any names, but the largest could be probably the largest electrical contractor in California and one of the largest in probably the United States called us and said, called that last company and said, no more, you're a threat to us. And I mean, this is a $1 billion company, and our revenue that year on the electrical side, I think was $4 million. Right. And that's what social media does. I mean, it scared a $1 billion company thinking that somehow me and my 20 guys at the time were a threat. Right. And so, 40 guys, whatever it was. Right. And so that's to me where I said, this works, right. This is working. Right. And ironically, it worked negatively because we don't shut the doors, but then, you know, going into changing the name and resurfacing and getting out completely. So we're, you know, that company wasn't a threat to their clients anymore. We saw the value, right? We said that we got to get this out there. We got to show people what we're doing. They don't understand. And a lot of the clients that we had worked with before when we were starting out, they don't know what we're doing now, right? maybe they think we're still stuck 3 years ago where we're doing these smaller projects, and they don't understand the magnitude of what we can do and what we can accomplish. So, and so it works. I mean, I'm not rich by any means or anything, but, you know, I had a neighbor knew I was an electrician the other day and came over, and he was like, "Hey, you know, I got this light that doesn't work." And I said, "Okay, you know," and I sent one of my service guys. We have a service guy on the commercial side, and they went over there, and I didn't charge them. We fixed, and it was a light. And I was just, okay, just don't charge them. Anyways, so when they came with the van with our giant stickers, apparently they looked the company up on our website, and they're like, "Oh man, I had no idea this guy was doing that. Why does he live in this neighborhood?" Thinking I'm this multimillionaire because of this website that we have and all that stuff. So it works. So sometimes it's a little smoke and mirrors, but it's, you know, we don't try to deceive. Sometimes it just looks a little bit bigger than it may, but at the end of the day, the specs are the specs. It's like, this is the size of the job. This is what we got done. Here's who we work for. And that's where really it tells the truth. Right. And so, yeah, we've got one person in here who handles all of our social media. And when I say all of our social media, she generally posts on LinkedIn and Instagram. That's where we post. And I do LinkedIn for the business side. I do Instagram for the employees mostly, and the private side, even though there's some companies that follow us on Instagram. But it works, man. It definitely works. It definitely, you know, it's an eye opener, and it works for me too. I gotta be honest with you. I see companies out there. Oh wow, I had no idea they were developing an Amazon job. Right. I do Amazon all the time. Right. Not that big of a deal, but you hear the name, you go, "Holy crap, this guy's working for Amazon. Wow. Must be doing something right." And, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back. We are, right. We actually got a contract from Amazon a couple months ago that we didn't get the job. We bid on these giant rooftop projects. I mean, on these storage, Amazon storage buildings that land an airplane in there. Right. We didn't end up getting the job, and price. But ironically enough, a year later, after bidding those jobs, they called us to be their third party commissioning company to basically go out and inspect to make sure the job was done right. And I said, wow, that is way more rewarding than getting that job.
That's what I was just going to say. I feel like almost, you could open a side business or another arm of your business where you're just the inspection piece or the third party mitigation some of these things.
Yeah, we do have, it's called like an O&M and service, right? So, most of the companies we work for are not local, right? And especially in today's world where, you know, everyone was sent home with COVID and people just decided not to come back. I mean, we had a job now. The project manager lives in Hawaii. The superintendent lives in Ohio, and we're doing it right here, right, you know, in our backyard. And so that being said, when the job's over, these companies who sell the solar, they're on the hook for 10 years. And so they need somebody to make sure that that's running correctly. They do need somebody to go out there, and they're in Ohio, man. You know, that's where we come in. You know, it's like, we will do this O&M. That's going to be more and more over the years as these older systems get older, right? And they're going to need more maintenance. They got to make sure they're running efficiency. That's where we see that'll come a little bit more, be a little bit more of a revenue earner coming. So,
yeah. So kind of, as we get towards the end, I'd like to know what's your favorite job? What are some out there that you can, whether you can drive by or not, or that you just, hey, that's us. That's kind of, you hang your hat on those jobs.
You know,
anyone that comes to mind.
No.
No?
No, not really. They're all, it's funny, we do three different types of jobs, but they're all the same, right? But, you know, I would say in the size of the magnitude, I mean, we've done some big grail mount styles out in wine country, and, you know, I'm just really proud of everything that we do. You know, there's an element of, I'm proud of how proud my guys are too. And cause I was that way when I was an electrician, I love to just sit back and look at my pipe work, you know, and I remember taking my wife to one of my first jobs, you know, and I'm just like, what are those pipe work? Beautiful. No, my hands are perfect. She's like, what the hell are you making me look at here? It's freaking a pipe, right? And so my guys do that now. And when I walk on the jobs, they're still, look at what I did. I think that's just what makes me the proudest. It's just all of our jobs and how well the guys do and how proud they are of the craftsmanship that they have. And you know,
Yes, we worked on Amazons. We do a lot of work with the Tesla and the car chargers, which the names are just very spectacular. But
at the end
of the day, it doesn't matter if it's Tesla or you know, Joe Blow company down the road. It's what we're putting out there that makes me the proudest.
That's awesome. So what's the future look like for you guys? Where are you guys headed? What are the goals in the coming years and growth and whatnot?
So last year, I mean, between last year and this year, we're 100% growth. We doubled, which was great because we were pretty much manned for what we did this year. So last year, as you can, it wasn't the greatest year because we were manned for it, but we were prepared for it. We knew we had the backlog. We had to get it done. So, you know, not a lot of companies out there probably would say it or admit to it. We decided to take the loss because we knew what was coming, right? We had way too many people, but we were preparing for the storm and it hit. And luckily we did. And this year was awesome. I mean, we beat every goal. Next year, you know, we got another, I think our goal is to get about 25% more. Our backlog's almost already there. So we're feeling pretty good about next year. What I'm really excited for is the batteries. So in the solar world, no one's been putting in battery storage. I mean, very few people have been doing the battery storage. So there's a lot of waste there, right? So if you're not doing battery storage, means if you're not using it, you're losing it pretty much, right? And especially in this day and age where you've got the utility company saying, well, we're not even going to let you harness and roll back your meter anymore. That's what the utility companies want to do.
I was going to say the net metering, the 3.0 does that work on the commercial side though too, or is that just the residential?
So, I mean, it's going to affect residential more than anybody right now because, you know, most businesses are open during the day, right? So most of that energy is being used and not wasted, whereas most homeowners aren't, and they're using more of their energy between 4 and 8 at night. So that not having a battery at home is going to be devastating if 3.0 hits and goes through to the buybacks, right? But on the commercial side, it could be an issue, right? We have jobs now that are not being contracted because of it, because they don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. But what I like is this batteries, because batteries are coming down in price, just like everything. You know, it's always eventually going to come down.
Yep.
Last year, 2 years, 3, 5 years ago, it doesn't pencil out. But what's also good about it is we're doing a lot of car chargers for, you know, Tesla and just whomever, you know, ChargePoint. So Biden has an initiative out there, love him or hate him, right? Biden has an initiative out there that says, I want an electric powered, I want 50% of the cars on the road to be battery powered by 2030. Okay. Well, if that happens, what does that mean? That means next to every gas station is going to be a car charger station.
Yep. Yep.
So if that happens, that is a boatload of power that needs to happen now. So the last 20, 30 years of solar is now going to be wiped out for our grid. Our grid's going to get overloaded. And in 2030, we're going to be back to the drawing board trying to figure out how much more solar or wind or whatever to put back into the market. So to me, that's what we're looking forward to, because it's just, you know, it helps the industry. It's going to help us, you know, not that there's not enough solar to last me my lifetime, but this is going to go in. This is going to go even further than that. And solar's not going anywhere. It's not, it can't, you know, it's, it just can't. So, you know, the only thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to invent something even better in that same sort of, the theory. Right. And then we're going to turn to it, and it's going to just continue to get better and better to whereas, who knows, in 25 years, one solar panel maybe is powering your whole house. Right.
I was going to say, if anything, all it is just going to be more powerful panels, right? Like, oh, I know, I mean, I did my old house.
Since I've been doing this, a normal panel is 130 watt, and now a normal panel is 430 watt, right? And that's 5 years.
Yep.
So who knows what we're going to get? So
that's what I was going to say. I mean, I think my old house, we put it on probably 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years, 7 or 8 years ago, something like that. And same company I hired to do my new house. And he gave me almost fewer panels. And I said, look, man, I appreciate it, but like this house is a little bit bigger and, you know, I'm not sure that it's as efficient as my old house. So like, cause it's a little bit older house. I said, you know, I know that I don't have, cause I didn't brand new house, right? Didn't have the electrical bills to kind of show what the power usage was. So I said, I know I don't have that, but I know I need at least what I have over there. So like, we need to make sure. And he said, no, man, these panels are almost twice as powerful, if not more. As he's goes,
yeah,
you're getting way more power. And if it was cheaper too than the old one. So I was like, all right, yep. Man, you do you. Yep. This is, yeah. So I have to imagine it's, yeah. And we didn't do the battery, but I think, like you said, at some point when they get even cheaper, it'll probably be even easier to throw one of those things in.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's all about your usage and how it makes sense, but it's all going to be good. And like I said, the longer you wait, just the cheaper it's going to be pretty much. So.
Any sort of succession plan? Is your daughter into the business at all?
No, I got a son and a daughter. They're doing it on my daughter's, like a glorified travel agent, traveling the world and doing stuff. So she's having fun. My son's in a completely different market. No, this is it for me. Let's say I get a nephew that comes up through the ranks. But awesome, yeah, I got at least more 20 more years to kick around in here and make it happen. So.
Well, we look forward to following it for sure, Sean. This has been awesome. Before we let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to let everybody know where to find you, whether that's social media, phone numbers, emails, whatever it is, how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, so we're neweraelectric.com is our website. I don't know what our LinkedIn thing is, but look us up at New Era Electric and Instagram. Like I said, we do commercials work all over California and starting to, I got my license a few years ago in Arizona, so we're putting our foot in the door there to see what comes of that. So, and then soon to be in Nevada, but yeah, look us up online, check out what we're doing. We got a lot of cool project out there and might sound corny, new era of electric. And we're trying to help the world a little bit and save the world here in the next 100 years by, reducing.
We'll find your links and we'll make sure we put them down there for you on the awesome. Video, but, how long until you moved to Arizona?
Right. I don't know.
My angle.
I'm thinking about it, but believe me, I'm thinking about residency for sure.
Northern Arizona is where I'd end up if I could. But
where's that?
Maybe Flagstaff, like that.
Oh,
area.
Flagstaff. So my the vice president here, his son goes to Flagstaff.
NAU.
He goes to school.
Yeah.
NAU. He loves it, and he's been.
I was
going
to say you have to worry about the 115 degree heat in the summer out there, so that's nice.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Sean, it's been awesome, man. We appreciate it. Keep in touch and stay safe out there, and we'll see you down the road, mate.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you had a good time, be sure to hit that subscribe button to get all the latest episodes. And if you had a really good time, leave a review to let us know what you thought. Until then, go gather some crazy stories on your job sites, and we'll see you next time on So, You Want to Be a Contractor.